2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the 90th Percentile. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Back again this week with my co-host, Matt Pajak. No guest this week, but exciting episode last week. We had Naz Zanatello on, and we went a little crazy. We didn't talk a lot of baseball. We talked a lot of food, a lot of different things. It was a fun episode. Go check it out. What's up, Matt? How are you?
Yeah, we got cultural last week. No, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, especially for a Monday after a college baseball opening weekend that really didn't have a ton of intrigue. It was a whole lot of, top-ranked programs beating up on fodder, I guess you could say. Not to be disrespectful, but, you know, we had a handful of top 25 matchups. The one that I could think of on Friday was Tennessee-Texas Tech, but you needed Flow Sports to get access to that one. And there were enough games to watch on Watch ESPN or ESPN. I don't even know what they're calling it at this point, the ESPN app. Yes. Where I didn't really feel compelled to subscribe to Flow Sports for that one game. So I will see Tennessee in a couple weeks when they're on SEC Plus. But yeah, you know what, Jeff? You know, the big revelation over the weekend, and I saw it pop up on Spencer Jones's Instagram. I think he's promoting it. Have you ever heard of Bitchin' Sauce?
I have not.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. This is Spencer Jones is promoting this, you said?
Yeah, he was promoting some Bitchin' Sauce. It's like a Southern California like snack sauce. I guess it's like a snack sauce. They got a whole bunch of different flavors. I was in Sprouts yesterday. And
what is Sprouts for those of us not in the know?
It's a grocery store. It's like a smaller grocery store. It's not quite as bougie as like Whole Foods.
Fair.
But it's like you can go in there and you can get like your fresh produce, and it's not like going to the big box grocery store, you know?
Gotcha. Understood. Is this a local Colorado chain, or is this?
Oh, they're everywhere.
No, I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, I used to go all the time when I was living back in North Carolina. It's one of those places that if you go around the outside and you go down the aisles, you could spend a lot of money on things that you could buy for the same or for a lot less somewhere else. But they're competitive, I think, with their produce, and the produce is better. So
there,
that's my appeal. But anyway, they had Bitchin' Sauce, and I was like, you know what? Let's just try it. Let's just try it. The original Bitchin' Sauce. It's an almond-based sauce. If that's not the most California thing you've ever heard. But yeah, it comes in like 10 different flavors. We tried it. We were like, this is really good. Tried it with tortilla chips. And then immediately, you know, bought some and sent it to my sister. Which was kind of funny because it was her birthday this last week. That's why we did it.
Yeah.
I bought two things of the Bitchin' Sauce. And I ended up paying more in shipping than I did for the actual sauce. It's got to be shipped like in a refrigerated container, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm looking now. The closest Sprouts to me would be New Jersey. So that's why I'm not aware of this place at all.
They got boxed out of the Northeast. Because what's that grocery store, that kind of fancy grocery store that people go to up there?
Whole Foods or Wegmans?
Wegmans.
Oh, okay.
I feel like with Wegmans in the Northeast, there isn't really a market for Sprouts.
Yeah, they're in Pennsylvania, though, in New Jersey. And, like, I think Wegmans was there before they came to Massachusetts. They only have, like, one store here, two stores here now. I think they have one in Chestnut Hill. Then they have the one, like, right next to my house. So,
well, Jeff, it's that thing that's going to happen that always happens in the Northeast. When Chick-fil-A opened, there was a four-hour line to get your Chick-fil-A. When Raising Cane's open, there was a four-hour line to get your Raising Cane's. When Sprouts opens somewhere in the middle of Massachusetts, there will be a four-hour line to check out at just another grocery store.
Yeah, we have a lot of different groceries. Anyway, but talking college baseball, let's get back on track here. Yeah. You know, I thought that Friday night did have an actual really thrilling game. It wasn't one that you would have expected to be so thrilling, but that was the TCU-Florida Gulf Coast game. That was a really, really an intriguing game as Florida Gulf Coast like battled, and then unfortunately fell. But they played them tough all weekend, and that was, I'm sure, when they scheduled that last minute, that was a series that TCU expected to just roll over those teams. But good showing by Anthony Silva. He showed some power, and was a good weekend for him. So it was a standout for me in that one. But that was a game I was glued to on Friday night. I know. I think you went to bed before the end of that game.
No, I switched to Love is Blind.
Oh, there you go.
That's why I got the hat on. LB, Love is Blind.
This is, dude, I am so, you know how everybody has gaps? I don't know if you ever watched How I Met Your Mother, but they had like a whole thing on like everybody has like a gap. And my gap is reality shows. I am so clueless about almost all reality shows. I watched like half a season of Jersey Shore and New Jersey Housewives, and that was mostly to make fun of my wife because she's from New Jersey.
We got to get Pierce back in here to talk about reality shows. He loves it.
Oh, he loves them. Loves them.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you got to be careful scheduling those Florida programs early in the season, you know, because they're more ready to go than anybody else down there in the warm weather. In Florida Gulf Coast, because this is on brand. This is on brand, Jeff. We're talking about mid-major programs. We're not here to talk about...
Going to say that we buried the lead a little bit, but yes, we're going to talk some mid-majors today that we watched over the weekend that we think are worth your attention throughout the late winter and spring.
Honestly, it's one of the beautiful things about college baseball, but like Florida Gulf Coast, most people don't associate them as being like a powerhouse baseball school, but like Chris Sale went there, and they've had guys, you know, over the course of the past couple of years, I've gone up to the Cape Cod Baseball League and had success. Jake Knowles, a guy that I remember going back a few years in Hyannis. Like, it's a nice little program. So, like, when they roll into TCU on Friday to open up the season, I mean, they're not going to be a pushover.
Yeah, no, and they absolutely weren't. But I think that's one of the interesting things, as you said, about college baseball is – you know, in football, it's impossible. We don't see the mid-majors, you know, beat the big schools. But it happens pretty consistently in baseball that we will see them take a game in a three-game series or every so often take a series, particularly against Power 5 schools, maybe not always against the big names. But I know this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, St. John's, they were rained out for a couple of days, but took a couple of games against Florida as well, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I watched them on Friday, and they took it to Florida. And at one point, Colby Shelton, the guy who transferred from Alabama to Florida, hit a home run and started – I mean, they were still down. He started talking back to the pitcher, and then they still lost the game. And I was like, dang. I mean, I was like, good for St. John's, man. Good for St. John's going down there, because that Florida ballpark was sold out. I think it was like, if I remember correctly, like 8,000-10,000 people there. So yeah, number two Florida get waxed by St. John's. And now I understand it was like what, 10-7 on Friday, something like that.
9-5.
Never really 9-5. Never really felt close.
Yeah, and then you know, obviously had a couple of canceled games as well. And then they go to Houston this week. Who I actually tuned into that series a little bit. They had swept Binghamton, but Binghamton has a Roselli, who's a draft guy. So okay. Kind of tuning into that one because it was on early. So we'll see what they can do next week. They only played one game this week, St. John's, but obviously took one from Florida, which is pretty big. But, you know, St. John's is one of these programs here in the Northeast where, you know, they're never a powerhouse. But they consistently have a couple of pro guys, you know, on that roster. You know, they've produced some guys, sent some guys to the majors over, you know, the course of whatever, 30 years or whatever.
It's a good program.
So, yeah, it's a good program, you know.
Yeah, it's a good program. We do want to dedicate this episode to Oral Roberts, despite the fact that they did not have a particularly good open to their season. I think they went 1-2 on the weekend. They went to Omaha last year. And we're here for the mid-majors. So Oral Roberts, 50-plus win team in 2023, went to Omaha. I mean, that could be any of these teams that we're talking about here today, Jeff.
Yeah. Absolutely. So here, I want to throw one out there. So there was actually a top-notch mid-major matchup to open the college baseball season. This also was on Flow Sports, so I was not able to watch this particular game. But my colleague and good friend, Josh Norris, was at the game. And that was Santa Barbara. UC Santa Barbara came east to Campbell to open up the season. They win big on Friday night and then lose the next two to Campbell, who I don't think it's going out on a limb here saying is one of the best mid-major programs in the country. UC Santa Barbara, if you consider them a mid-major as well, they were ranked in the top 25 coming in to the opening week. Another really quality mid-major type of program. And I think there are some out there in California that even with the Pac-12 going away, it seems like there could be an interesting conference that could potentially come together if they wanted to of West Coast baseball teams. Because I think a lot of those mid-majors consistently maybe aren't as talented from like an exposure funnel standpoint as some of the powerhouse schools like UCLA, et cetera. But they're just as competitive over the last couple of years. And I think a lot of those schools could honestly go into UCLA and easily take a series, go into USC, take a series, et cetera, without a problem. St. Mary's is probably another one.
Yeah, Jeff, and that's right in my wheelhouse. And I know I joked earlier, and for people who are listening, I can't see the hat. It's a Long Beach hat, Long Beach State. And I was the most unusual Long Beach State fan growing up as someone who grew up in Massachusetts, but went to a Chatham A's camp back when I was a kid. Danny Espinosa was the player instructor at the time.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've been rocking LB hats and following Long Beach State. It's not quite the program that it was back when they were producing the Jared Weavers. And I know the Giambis came out of there, and Evan Longoria, Danny Espinosa. Mm-hmm. I think their most recent guy was probably like Jeff McNeil. Garrett Hampson's still kicking around the big leagues right now, trying to establish himself. But yeah, mid-major baseball, it's always been a thing. It's always been a big thing in mid-major college baseball out west. I mean, I like that you called out that series, UC Santa Barbara and Campbell. That was probably the best actual series of the weekend.
Yeah, it was.
close second, all right, sneaky one, is UNC Wilmington opening up with Kent State. That's two more really good mid-major programs. And UNC Wilmington took two out of three from Kent State to open up the year. RJ Sales, the Friday guy, someone who can go toe-to-toe with anybody in college baseball, you know, if they end up in a regional or whatever it is. You know, they could give a real fight to a Power Five school. 5 2/3, one hit, two walks, eight strikeouts for RJ Sales on Friday against Kent State. So do want to shout out UNC Wilmington. Really good program every year, and another really good mid-major.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to, you know, going back on that Campbell series, got a big performance from a freshman on Sunday in the rubber game. Cooper Clark gave up three runs, only two earned, but he struck out six, only walked one. Did give up a homer to Xander Darby, who homered in every single game this weekend. All three games, Darby homered. I know there's some video up on Josh's Twitter account, as well as Tyler Jennings, a good friend of mine from Prospects Live, got some good shots of him too. So couple of homers to go check out on Twitter if you haven't seen those, but thought that was really interesting. The next series I wanted to bring up wasn't really a series. It was the Shipyard Tournament. And that's Lehigh. They lose on Friday, but end up shutting out Michigan State. They had four pitchers combined for a shutout on Saturday of Michigan State. They then go into, I believe, what was the championship game against Iowa, and they defeat a pretty good Iowa team on the back of a great start from Cade Obermuller, who came out and just absolutely shoved over, I think, five innings. The next guy came in, I think he gave up six runs, and you know, Lehigh goes on to win. Not like a super famous program, but I think it's one of these kind of sneaky Northeast programs that will have a guy or two every year that, you know, goes on to pro ball and is an interesting prospect. Mason Black is one that I can call out very recently. But I love those.
These
cold weather. What'd you say?
I love me some Mason Black.
Yeah, man. He was fun on the Cape and then really grew. But you know, Lehigh is another one of these programs that's kind of like right in my wheelhouse, Matt, which is like these this expanding mid-major Division I baseball field here in the Northeast. I wanted to call this out. Merrimack College, now a Division I program. They're not Division I, but Southern New Hampshire up here is actually a really good program. I think if they wanted to make the jump to D1, if they are, can't remember.
Exactly.
They have guys in the Cape every single year. My alma mater, UMass Dartmouth, is Division III that has guys in the Cape every year that are kind of interesting. But there's others too. I'm trying to think. There was another school. Oh, Stonehill College. Stonehill College was this tiny little college in Eastern Massachusetts where it was like kind of like my high school part two is a Division I baseball school now. They had a catcher a couple years ago. Oh, Matt Donlin, I think, that ended up at UConn, was like a phenomenal defensive catcher, like one of the best throwers I've seen in college baseball. I think it was him, maybe Peter Burns, were on Bourne a couple years ago when they won that first championship and like that 3-year run of championships, or it might have been two. I can't remember, but a couple of mid-majors that are popping up here in the Northeast too, which for me is kind of interesting because we already got UMass Lowell and a couple others, Bryan, of course.
Stony Brook had a good run for a handful of years.
Who did?
Stony Brook.
Oh, yeah, Stony Brook in Long Island. That's like 5 hours away from me, but yeah, sure.
The Northeast part of
the country. You're right. I mean, because Lehigh's the same. Lehigh's probably 6 hours from me, so.
Yeah, yeah. It's mid-major central. Yeah, bonus points for any of the listeners who actually know where Lehigh is. I feel like that's one of those schools that unless you're from Northeast, Mid-Atlantic,
yeah,
you've got no idea. It's like when people say like Belmont, and I had to look that one up. I was like, oh, where's Belmont? where's
Marine? Wright
State, you know, speaking of mid-majors, Wright State. I don't have anything to say about Wright State right now, but tip of the cap to that program because they're always good.
Yeah. I mean, they had a it's funny, that game on Friday night was started by Peyton Tolley, who is a transfer from Wichita State. So another mid-major program. For a second, I got my W States confused, but hey,
W States. I want to take a quick.
But
Tyler Black. There was another one, Sean Murphy. Murphy's Wright State, the catcher for the Braves.
Yes.
One of the best catchers in baseball, Wright State, mid-major. I want to take a quick break here. Got a shout out. Walker Zapp, I believe, is the player's name. Walker Zapp from Air Force.
Yes.
He took a powder keg of dynamite to the head in the Mississippi State Air Force game yesterday. You're wondering what I'm talking about. Hunter Hines hits a base hit to right field. And here comes Dakota Jordan coming home from second, play at the plate, throw takes him up the line a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Dakota Jordan goes to hurdle him. For anybody who's listening, doesn't know who Dakota Jordan is. Some people compare him to Bo Jackson. They do. He's gotten that comp. He goes to hurdle him and just kneecap to the dome. And Dakota Jordan did not slow down. Man, I was like, he could be dead. And then they were like, oh, he's okay. But definitely concussion protocol. But I do want to shout out Walker Zapp because he survived that. Anyway, back to mid-majors. California, on the subject of California, I don't want to talk about Long Beach State. I want to talk about
UC. See, I thought we were going to talk more about Air Force because they're an interesting program. I mean, they did produce the number one pick in the draft last year, more or less.
Yeah, and they got a pretty good player in Sam Kulasingham.
Hey, Thompson, too.
Air Force is a nice little program. I was talking about that with my wife the other day. She's like, oh, is there any good college baseball around where we're at? I'm like, you got Northern Colorado, which is about an hour and a half north of us, and then you got Air Force. And I'm like, you know, Air Force, they actually got a pretty good little schedule. They opened up the season at Mississippi State. They did win one.
They did.
And I think they've got another big series this weekend. They do a pretty good job of scheduling themselves some non-cookies.
Yeah. Jay Thompson of Air Force had a home run this weekend, 114 EV at 42 degrees.
Yeah, they go Southern Mississippi today.
Ooh, that's a solid midweek schedule.
Yep, and then they go 3-game set with Navy over the weekend, and then they play UNC Wilmington next Monday. Creighton, Army, Louisiana Tech, 3-game set, or nope, midweek at Auburn before they go back out west. I mean, that's a pretty good little southeast run for them.
Are you still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with quality candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is how it makes hiring easy. It puts everything I need in one convenient location. I can communicate with candidates. I can set up interviews. I can send out messages just a couple of clicks. It makes it easy. And you are leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets for you. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast, including Baseball America. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, for sure. Like I said, interesting program in a service academy that recruits pretty damn well. I mean, to get Paul Skeens and some other players, I think speaks volumes. But do you have another series that you checked in on this week and any other teams that you're excited to talk about?
I think there's a handful of programs here that opened up the year pretty well that I'll have something in common. I think it's kind of the model for a mid-major program to be competitive, and that's an excess of upperclassmen, right? So I do want to go ahead and shout out a couple programs down south that are going to be, you know, pitching is going to be the question mark. Pitching is oftentimes the biggest question mark for these mid-major programs. Mm-hmm. But South Alabama, they always hit. And they opened up 3-0 against Lamar, North Alabama, Southern Indiana. I mean, no real big programs there, but 3-0 nonetheless. Will Turner went 0-for-12 on the weekend. So you know they're going to hit. Pitching is usually.
How about our other guy? Is it Joe Sullivan?
Yeah, he was just okay.
Just okay.
Yeah, he was just okay. So, I mean, like, those two guys haven't even gotten going yet. And they won pretty handily against Lamar, North Alabama, and Southern Indiana. What's kind of interesting is pitching's usually the issue there. Their first two guys out Friday and Saturday are both transfers from Auburn, Carson Swilling and Cam Hill. Okay. You know, Swilling had some prospect status as a high school guy. But just kind of interesting, you know, if those guys can kind of put it together a little bit and give them some stability at the front of that rotation. I mean, South Alabama could very easily be a program that makes a run, you know, later in the spring. So, I mentioned Northern Colorado. They got rolled by Louisiana Tech 4-0. Louisiana Tech back in 2022 won 43 games. Mm-hmm. If you go look at their stat sheet, they're rolling 7 seniors out there offensively. Pitching will be the question mark, but yeah, anytime that's kind of the Texas State model from a couple of years ago. What was it, 2022? They won 47. They also opened up 3-0 this weekend. Really good program. Something a little uncharacteristic for Texas State this weekend. Best player is a true freshman, Ryan Farber. So maybe they're leveraging some of that success with some of the older guys into, you know, being able to pull some higher end recruits. Yeah. But yeah, Ryan Farber, true freshman. 5-for-8, 5 walks, no strikeouts, and collectively 37-4 against Youngstown State over the weekend. So Texas State, Yeah, gold star for Texas State this weekend. They're probably, out of the schools that I've named, the one that I'm probably on the hottest, yeah, I guess, for this year moving forward. So I know I kind of threw a jamboree at you there, but they're all kind of in that same model. That's kind of what you got to do as a mid-major, is roll out there with a bunch of 22 and 23-year-olds and be competitive, win 40 games. And, you know, Texas State, again, kind of turning that corner and maybe being able to pull some higher-end high school recruits.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And they've gotten some good transfers over the last couple of years, too, that certainly helped. Who was the fire-breathing dragon that they got from, was it Texas Tech that got drafted last year? It was a reliever. You're not,
Yeah, I don't know about the fire-breathing dragon.
No, he threw pretty hard. I saw him on the Cape. He went against the kid that transferred to Iowa from Carson Wentz's school. Is that North Dakota State or South Dakota State? I can't remember.
One of the Dakotas.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on all these pictures because it's been 2 years. I'll tell you in a minute. But, yeah, I can't think of who it is. But, yeah, I think it was a Texas Tech recruit that ended up at Texas State for a couple of years and then got drafted last year. Maybe like seventh, eighth round kind of guy. Anyway, but I have another one I want to call out here. I know we talked in the opening a little bit about some of these good California mid-majors that can beat a top-notch school. I know Stanford's down a little bit, but Fullerton took two games from Stanford on Friday and outscored them 19-6 in those two games. They didn't play on Saturday and then lost 4-1. So they went to Stanford and took that series. And like I said, on those first two nights, outscored them 19-6, including a 4-0 shutout in the first game. So shout out to Fullerton and going in. And you know, like I said, I know Stanford's lost some players, but still it's Stanford. And doing the damage that they did, especially against a lineup that has, you know, some draft guys in it. You know, certainly Malcolm Moore for sure. I don't know where people are at with Trevor Haskins, but I thought he was kind of interesting when I saw him on the Cape as well. But yeah, so shout out to Fullerton and Christian Rodriguez going out there and tossing six scoreless innings and, you know, getting a three inning save from Peyton Jones as well. So
yeah, and you bring up Cal State Fullerton. Shout out to Jason Dietrich. He's in his third season as a head coach there. He does not have an easy job in the age of NIL and in the age of transfer portal and all of that, because Cal State Fullerton's not a program that's going to be able to dole out NIL money, right? Mm-hmm. So this is kind of where college baseball and this new landscape is kind of in a, I don't want to say a weird place, but man, there's so many historical programs out west that have had so much success. Cal State Fullerton is one of the most historical programs in all college baseball, right? And it's like, how are they going to compete in this new age of NIL? You know, if they get a player that's good, he's probably going to hop in the portal and he's probably going to bounce. So not an easy job over there. And Dietrich's done a pretty good job. And, you know, to his credit, opens up with Stanford and, you know, put a pretty good licking on them. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I talked about Long Beach before and kind of the history there, Cal State Fullerton, the history there. And you just hope that there's a way for these programs to kind of navigate these turbulent waters, NIL and all of that, and continue to push through and have that prestige that they've had, produce draft prospects and win games and all of that. But yeah, shout out to Cal State Fullerton, because I was, you know, that's another program that, you know, in my youth,
yeah,
kind of drew me into the game, drew me into the college game.
Yeah. And shout out to junior outfielder Kobe Wallace, who had like a massive series. I was going to mention this as well. He went 6-for-13 with 2 home runs, a double, drove in 5, and 4 Ks to a walk. But big showing, had 3 hit nights in the second game on Friday, and then in the loss he scored the lone run with his home run. So
yeah, and you got Maddox Lotta there too. Yep. 3
he had a really good series. Yep,
that's Doug Lotta's, I think that's his son.
It is, he's, I believe.
Yeah,
Went 5 for 13 this weekend.
Yeah, 5 for 13 against Stanford. That kid can really hit. And then let me look on the pitching side here. You said Christian Rodriguez. I want to shout out my boy Seth Tomczak. Looks like 2 1/3 in relief, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 5 punches.
Yeah.
What is it, Argonaut High School up in NorCal? Mm. Seth was a guy out of high school, and then he went to Arizona State, and then he bounced back to Delta Junior College back in NorCal, and now he's down at Cal State Fullerton, and he kind of came on last spring, and yeah, here he is pitching well against Stanford straight out of the chute. So love me some Seth Tomczak, fellow Pollock.
There you go. I was gonna ask, do you know who Maddox Lotta's cousin is?
I do. Don't tell me.
He's a big leaguer, California prep guy. Those are the clues I'll give you.
Dylan Carlson.
It is indeed. Dylan Carlson is his cousin. So
I may be getting old.
Doug Lotta plus Dylan Carlson. You got some baseball blood in that family for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, Cal State Fullerton, we're rooting for you.
One of my bucket list items would be like 2-3 weeks in California, a car, unlimited hotel budget, and I can just drive down the coast and go to series at all those different parks, all those different mid majors, Pepperdine, right on down. I want to see games at all those parks.
It's yeah, like, and Jeff, I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm with you. There's a program that I've got to talk about that is, it's the last one that I'm going to highlight, but it, you know, we saved it for the end. I didn't plan to save it for the end. It just happened, and it fits so perfectly in the way that this whole thing's going. The Fighting Ben Orloffs of UC Irvine. They were my biggest Field of 64 snub last year. After winning 38 games, and went 38-7, didn't make the field. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
And they just walloped North Dakota State to start the year. 31-8 combined score as they swept North Dakota State. They are just packed full of grad students and seniors and seniors and seniors and redshirt seniors. Pitching is the question mark with mid-majors, but it's if Ben's got to put a hat on, if he's got to throw a jersey on and sneak on out there, he'd fit right in. He's got that young spirit in him. UC Irvine, the Anteaters. That's a mid-major spotlight for you, Jeff.
Yeah, man. They went what? They're 4-0, right? Am I wrong? No.
3-0, 4-0. 3-0. All I know is that the loss.
I gotta double check. I'm an idiot. Don't worry about it. I was looking at the 2023 schedule there. I was like, I don't see North Dakota State, but yes. Smoke North Dakota State. They have San Diego on Tuesday, and then another decent mid-major program on the weekend. They're at Tulane, so they head, after being in Cali, they're heading out to New Orleans next weekend.
UC Irvine might not lose a game all year, and they might still get snubbed from the field. But we don't care.
They're in an interesting tournament in a couple of weeks, the opening weekend of March. They're at the Dodger Stadium tournament, and they take on San Diego, Michigan, and UCLA. And then the following week, they play a couple of really interesting mid-majors as well. California Baptist, which is a program that's really invested over the last couple of years, has improved by leaps and bounds over the last what, 3-4 years. They've had some guys every year on the Cape. Fresno State, which, you know, from year to year can have some sneaky players. They also play Columbia in there, which is going to be no knock on Columbia, but going from some of these schools that they're going to see over the first couple of weeks to then playing Columbia should be kind of interesting. So
yeah, I just hope that little jamboree sesh that's going on at Dodger Stadium isn't on Flow Sports, and I'll be tuning in for that.
It is actually an ESPN Plus broadcast. So
let's go.
I don't know about the. Funny enough, the Michigan and San Diego game are listed as ESPN Plus. There's no TV listed for the UCLA game. So I don't know if that ends up in the Pac-12 network or what, but we'll have to see.
The Pac-12 doesn't exist, Jeff. The Pac-12.
It won't in a year. It won't in a year. But the Pac-12 television issue with baseball has honestly just been an ongoing thing for multiple years. So I guess the positive is with the Big Ten, some of these schools moving to the Big Ten, and maybe the West Coast can pack together. Get some TV stuff together, guys. We want to watch your games. I like to watch West Coast games. It's one of my favorites.
So here's a question for you, and this is coming from, well, you say you love to watch West Coast games. I used to watch like UC Riverside on Tuesday night, filmed by a potato on Watch ESPN. All right, that's how for real I am about this. But speaking of the Pac-12 not existing next year, in Oregon State is technically not in the Pac-12 this year, correct?
No, they are.
There wasn't something about them opting out of the Pac-12?
Unless I'm crazy. I believe that they're still in the Pac-12 this year. Yeah, I mean, they're listed as the top team in the Pac-12 right now.
I could have swore I saw
the cover of our Baseball America college preview was a whole ode to the Pac-12 with Travis Pizana and Gavin Turley on the cover. So I believe they're still in the Pac-12. This is like the end of the Pac-12. There's like nothing Pac-12 after this baseball season.
I apologize to all the listeners out there. I pulled an average American thing and I only read a headline and I didn't actually read the story. But it sounds like Oregon State is leaning into an independent baseball schedule.
Yes.
For 25 and 26. That's what I was reading. I thought they opted out of the Pac-12 for this year for some reason. That is a major gaffe on my part, but Let's just pretend that we're in my fantasy land where they're not in the Pac-12, and they're one of my favorite mid-majors for this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's they shouldn't be, but in some ways it almost feels like they're being forced to be because they're not a powerhouse in football. They're not necessarily a desirable school in that sense. But this is one of the best baseball programs in the country, and it has as committed a fan base as there is in college baseball. And that's not a knock on the SEC, but Oregon State cares. That community cares about that team. You know, they do numbers, they fill up that stadium. People care about the games. They know the players are part of that community. They take great pride in the players that played there and then went on and had success in the major leagues. So yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that kind of lingers over this baseball season where they have this incredible team, you know, even beyond Bizana, they have players that are going to be there the next couple of years who are very good players. They're going to continue to be able to recruit well. And you just wonder like, what impact could that have on the program? Maybe they become college baseball's Notre Dame. That kind of feels like what it is, right? Like maybe they join other conferences and other sports the way Notre Dame did, but remained independent in football. And picks up a very difficult schedule because of that. But here's my question, Matt. If you are a Power Five school, do you want to pick up a series against Oregon State in the middle of your season?
No.
Yeah.
No. And I don't want to talk about Oregon State too much here because they technically are not a mid-major.
They're not
a mid-major podcast. But shout out to Travis Bizana. And again, shout out another storied West Coast program that I think is probably in a better position in the current landscape to continue, keep their prestige elevated, and they're doing a pretty good job. But yeah, Oregon State, I guess when they're independent, if they're independent in the next couple of years, we'll talk about them on this podcast as a mid-major.
We could. It's possible. I don't know. But like I said, are they like Notre Dame where it's like you're not really you're not really a mid-major. You're so good that you can live above the bubble. You don't have to exist with any substance. You don't have to have a label. You know, they're nonconformists.
Yeah. So what genre? No genre.
No genre.
No genre. Like the old B.O.B. mixtape.
They're just bending. That's a reference. They're just bending the restraints that people put on them. Any other mid-major programs that you want to shout out? I kind of feel like I've hit my full capability as these are the only games that I paid attention to. There were plenty of other mid-majors playing, but like I said, that Binghamton Houston series, not a whole lot to call out there. And I don't think Houston really counts as a mid-major because they're
technically in the Big 12 now.
They're in the Big 12. So
yeah,
they used to be.
That was my favorite mid-major conference before it all blew up. Houston, UCF, Tulane, Cincinnati. There were others in there too.
In baseball, it honestly wasn't that different from the Big Ten. You could argue that conference was from
here. UConn was in that program too.
Might have had as much talent and ability to teams that had an ability to make a good run to Omaha, as much as the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, while we're on the subject of mid majors, a few quick shouts and we'll get you out of here. UCF played Bryant on Friday, mm-hmm. and they got rained out for the rest of the weekend. UCF, I think, is a fun little mid major program.
Yeah.
They got a lot of Florida bounce backs. They got Previsk, mm-hmm. and I don't think he played this. I don't think he played on Friday. Corey Robinson.
Yep.
So they got some exciting players that are actually going to get a chance to play every day at UCF, which is cool.
Yeah.
That's something I appreciate about some of these mid majors is they're a good landing spot for the guys that weren't one of the nine, you know, at the higher end programs. So you got that. I mean, Bryant, obviously. You know, since Steve Owens left Rutgers, is Rutgers technically a mid-major?
No, because they're Big Ten.
All right, Rutgers not a mid-major program.
And they were Big East before that, so like I don't consider them to be a mid-major.
Yeah, they feel like they've got that flavor about them because they're in the Northeast. But yeah, last two. I mean, Dallas Baptist doesn't really feel like a mid-major, but they technically are.
They definitely are. Yeah, they are probably the. They're probably the standard.
Yeah, the fact that we haven't talked about them 40 minutes in, you know, they handled SEMO this weekend with ease. Go ahead.
Let me throw another one out there for you. Is East Carolina a mid-major?
Yeah.
I'd say yes. They might actually be the gold standard. It might actually be East Carolina.
It's like, well, I mean, if you think about it, let's go from sea to shining sea. You've got East Carolina, DBU, and then you go out west, UC Santa Barbara.
You need one in the north. You need a north mid-major standout.
North Dakota State.
Kent State. You could have said Kent State.
Kent State, Wright State. Probably Wright State.
I'll put it for you on a platter. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, DBU handled SEMO this weekend.
State, another good one.
What do you say, Ball State? Chirp, chirp. That's their thing. They go chirp, 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 chirp.
I didn't even think about the Redbirds either, man.
You didn't even think of the
Illinois State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got the Sycamores too. They had a huge year last year. Yeah. What is it? Indiana State? Mid-major baseball. You gotta love it. Yeah, the last one I want to shout out here is UNC Charlotte, because they're kind of following that same trend, that same model of bringing in a lot of transfers, being competitive. They've got a good program, they've got a nice set up there in Charlotte. There's a lot of support from the athletic department, beautiful ballpark, all the technology. They got all the right people in there. They salvaged a game against Virginia Tech. I mean, not an easy way to open up your season on Sunday, but I would expect them to get rolling and also be a threat and be a candidate for the field of 64 when all said and done. So, yeah, I mean, Jeff, let me just tell you, this episode has been an absolute treat. And outside of like a quick mention, Oregon State, Dakota Jordan, almost killing a guy at Air Force. Like, kudos to you, Jeff, for keeping up with your mid-major college baseball.
Hey, you know, and I wish I had another game that was on Flow Sports that I didn't get to see. But College of Charleston, who went 3-0 this weekend against Marshall, that's another program that every single year they have multiple draft guys who are legitimate. They have hitters that, you know, this year they have a couple, they have pitchers every year. Sometimes bullpen guys, but definitely some interesting arms. But shout out to them. Darren Pendergrass is a really, really interesting kind of sleeper on that team. Speed guy that they brought in a transfer. And then Cole Mathis, who was a two-way guy I saw on the Cape this summer, and legitimate power there. I'm definitely a fan of Cole Mathis's game. So shout out to College of Charleston. That's another good mid-major to pay some attention to. And they started out the season 3-0 as well.
Yeah. And last thing before we head out of here, there is good barbecue in Colorado. Found it this weekend, AJ's Pit Barbecue. So if you're ever in Colorado and you're listening to this podcast at the moment, you're looking for barbecue that can hold up anywhere. AJ's Pit Barbecue. Brisket, pork, ribs, turkey.
There you go.
Potato salad, mac and cheese. All that's good.
That's good stuff. I tried a chain restaurant that was good the other day. I told you, Dave's Hot Chicken. It was actually legit. You know,
that fits into that Chick-fil-A Raising Cane's when they open up a Sprouts.
It's better. Yeah, it's better. It's better than.
No, I'm just saying people up in the Northeast.
The best of that group. I would take like it that, over.
People go nuts for it.
I would take it over Raising Cane's in a second. And it's the same deal. Like it's like chicken tenders. You can make sandwiches and yeah, the sauce is good. You know, all that good stuff. No bread, but who cares?
Nashville Hot Chicken is definitely a wave right now. It's a wave that's
a wave.
I saw it up in Fort Collins on Friday when I was driving up there. There's a not that spot, but a different hot chicken spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one I'll say is went to a local place, is a brewery near my house. It's been brewing beer for a long time.
Jeff brewed it. Jeff brewed the beer.
I did not brew the beer. I hadn't had a beer. Like I never drank. So I hadn't had a beer since July. So my kids were at my parents' house this weekend and we decided to go out to the brew pub that this brewery opened, restaurant with, you know, so, you know, I had a beer there. It was great. And then I had a nice little meal, excellent fried pickles, but it was Cold Harbor. And I think it's in Westboro, technically. It's kind of where like Northboro, Westboro meet. But either way, it's right down the road from my house. Really good spot. Enjoyed that quite a bit. It's the first time my wife and I have been able to have a meal by ourselves with no kids in a very long time. So we enjoyed
it. Congrats to you on that. And I'll tell you what, that's a better investment for your dollar than a $395 on-field replica of an Anthony DeScalafani jersey with the new Nike Vapor uniform. Get those out of here. Get them all the way out of here. You got to rerun those things.
I think you're incorrect. That is a great investment, as Anthony DeSclafani is going to win the Cy Young Award because he's come up for no reason in like three or four conversations this weekend. So I'm determined that is God trying to tell me that I should have Anthony DeSclafani on all my fantasy teams. But Matt, on that note, let's wrap this show up before we get too crazy. This has been another episode of the 90th Percentile. We're talking mid-majors. Thanks for tuning in.